everybody. This is a little bit of work from my PhD dissertation at Kansas State University. The focus is the impact of nitrogen rate on switchgrass yield, production cost, and nitrous oxide emissions. So it's well known that nitrogen rate can affect the productivity and profitability of cropping systems. However, higher nitrogen rates also increase the likelihood of end leakages, such as losses of nitrous oxide. In the context of switchgrass production for bioenergy, this is especially problematic because increased losses of nitrous oxide can affect the greenhouse gas benefits, climate mitigation benefits that you get from switchgrass-based biofuel. And this is especially problematic in the context of switchgrass because the end response of switchgrass to nitrogen, the yield response of switchgrass to nitrogen is unclear. Some studies show that you don't need any nitrogen to reach maximum productivity, whereas others see very strong end response. And then in the context of nitrous oxide, there are potentially multiple responses that you can see to additional nitrogen inputs. This figure is from a meta-analysis by Kimital, which summarizes, proposes three phases that you can see as you add more nitrogen into a cropping system. The first consists of a linear phase where plant uptake is competing for nitrogen with denitrifying bacteria, and so you only see linear increases in nitrous oxide with additional inputs. When you reach the optimal end uptake by vegetation, additional inputs could cause exponential losses in nitrous oxide. And if enough N is added, you could potentially reach a point where you reach a plateau and you've maximized the ability of denitrifying bacteria to utilize N added to the system. However, the exact mechanism there is very uncertain. It could also be a buffering effect due to increased losses from leaching or ammonia volatilization. But these different responses have been observed in previous studies, but it's a little uncertain what conditions can cause you to see a given response in any given study. So the objectives of this study were to characterize the yield response and nitrous oxide response of switchgrass to N fertilizer, and to determine the cost of production of switchgrass across different N fertilizer rates. The study was conducted on the Kansas State University Agronomy North Farm in Manhattan, Kansas. The soil type was a Smolin silt loam. Cave and rock switchgrass was established in 2008, and starting in 2012, between 0 and 200 kilograms per hectare of nitrogen were added in the spring as urea. Nitrous oxide was measured from spring of 2012 to fall of 2014. Samples were collected 1 to 2 times weekly during the growing season, once every 2 to 4 weeks for the rest of the year. And then we analyzed for concentration of N2O using gas chromatography. When we calculated the total annual flux, we tried fitting three different response functions to characterize N2O response to N fertilizer. One was a linear model, another is an exponential model, and the third was Hill's equation, which is basically a variant of Michaelis-Menten kinetics with an extra curve factor added to give that lag phase. And it basically mimics the theoretical response curve that I showed in the previous slide. So we fit this model, these models, the data from each year, and selected the best fitting model using the AIC. We also did a cost analysis where we took, for at every nitrogen rate, we took the average yield that we got over the 3 years, and then made a couple of assumptions about the cultivation of the switchgrass. One was that it was going to be cultivated for a total of 11 years with no harvest in the first year due to low yields. And then the costs of the field operation, the fertilizer price and chemical prices were mainly taken from Kansas research and extension documents for the cultivation of brome hay. So we'll start off with the yield results. The different colors on this plot represent the three different years. And there are a couple different trends that I would like to highlight. One is that the optimal yield, where we saw a plateau, increased each year that the study was conducted, where we had yields of about 6 megagrams per hectare in 2012, and those increased to over 10 in 2014. There might be multiple reasons for why we're seeing that increase. 2012 was a very dry year in much of the Midwest and the Great Plains, so moisture may have been limiting to the switchgrass production. But you can also see that between the years, the agronomic optimum nitrogen rate, which is shown with the numbers on the graph and the tick marks, decreased each year that the study was conducted. So it seems pretty apparent that there's some carryover effect of the nitrogen between years. We were only taking shallow soil samples in this study, so we don't know if it was because of a buildup of nitrogen deeper in the profile, but it seems very likely that the switchgrass would have been retaining a lot of the nitrogen between years after translocating the above ground and into its roots, which is available in subsequent years. So we saw a big drop from 60 kilograms per hectare then down to about 79 between 2012 and 2014. The final thing that I wanted to point out is there was definitely a response of the switchgrass yield to nitrogen, where yield increased sharply as you applied between zero and either 75 to 150 pounds, depending on the year. Now we'll go into the nitrous oxide emissions. This shows the time series plot for 2012 with precipitation on the bottom panel. And the main thing that I wanted to point out was after the urea was applied, it was a very dry year, but we did get a couple precipitation events above 20 millimeters that resulted in large fluxes of nitrous oxide, especially at the higher nitrogen rate. In 2013, there is actually more precipitation over the whole growing season, but around when fertilizer was applied, there were more frequent but smaller precipitation events that resulted in smaller fluxes than what we saw in 2012. And in both 2012 and 2013, after July, so about a month and a half after the fertilizer was applied, we saw very few fluxes regardless of the amount of rainfall that we were receiving. In 2014, the trend was quite a bit different. It was a much wetter year, and we had several very large precipitation events. I believe there is over 200 millimeters in about a two-week period that resulted in very high nitrous oxide emissions right after the fertilizer was applied. So it looks like the distribution of the precipitation might have been playing a large role in the magnitude of the emissions that we're seeing between years. And we'll look at that again, but with the cumulative fluxes, the response curves. In 2012, we saw an exponential increase in emissions with increasing fertilizer rate. Whereas in 2013, the magnitudes of the emissions weren't incredibly different than in 2012, but we had a very linear response. In 2014, we saw a totally different response where the Hill's equation or the sigmoidal response seemed to provide the best fit. So we had low emissions up to 50 kilograms per hectare, and then when we moved up to 100 and higher, we saw a sharp increase in emissions up to 6 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare, but not a lot of change as we increased above 100 kilograms per hectare. So part of the reason that we might have gotten the sigmoidal response in 2014, it could be related to the buildup of N that we might have been having in the system. Presumably, if your agronomic optimum nitrogen rate is decreasing, there's going to be more N available in the system for denitrifying bacteria. But it is interesting that in both 2012 and 2014, when we saw the nonlinear responses, that's when we had those larger precipitation events right after fertilizer application. And so there may be a story there with how the distribution of the rainfall is affecting the response function. And finally, we'll go into the cost of production. The different columns in this table show the different costs at each nitrogen rate, and then each row is a different category of costs for switchgrass production. So I'll just highlight what a few of the major costs were. The first was the input costs, which consists of the herbicides needed to establish the switchgrass stand, and then mainly the input or the cost of urea applied over the different nitrogen rates. And so you can see that the cost increased pretty substantially as you were applying more nitrogen. The next major cost was the field operation costs, which was mainly the harvest and baling of the switchgrass. And that also increased as nitrogen rate increased because there was more biomass to harvest and bale. The final cost was the land charge, and this is one of the big assumptions that can cause the results of these cost analyses to vary, because you could potentially be doing this on very low quality, cheap land, or prime farmland, and the land charge that you have could vary substantially with that. But together, all three of those costs represented about 90% of the total costs of production. And when we look at that on a yield scale basis, what we found was, as we applied fertilizer from 0 to 100 kilograms, the cost of production decreased from 94 down to 71 dollars per megagram. And then when we increased above 100, the cost started to go back up. So at least just based off of the 3 years of data that we have, it looks like maybe around 100 kilograms would be the optimum. But it's possible that that would go down if we continue to collect yields in the future, since they seem to be increasing the longer the study was conducted. So in conclusion, most of the nitrous oxide was emitted within 1 month of the fertilizer application, which highlights the need to implement strategies to try to protect the N from losses of nitrous oxide during that critical period. The nitrous oxide response curve varied substantially between years, which seemed to be the result of different precipitation patterns as well as N supply and demand between years. The yield, switchgrass definitely responded to applications of N, and it looked like the optimum was probably between 100 and 150 kilograms per hectare. And we found that the costs were minimized at the 100 kilogram nitrogen rate. So I'd like to acknowledge Jeff Williams for his help with the cost analysis, as well as all of the soil microbiology lab members and undergrads for all of their help collecting and analyzing the data. Thank you.